my sweet embrace of you.
This is Henry Banks, senior producer and host of People of Color on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. On the show today, I'm delighted to welcome Chicago jazz singer Bruce Henry and Glenn Swanson from the Oldenburg House in Carlton, Minnesota. We're talking jazz music and the impact jazz music continues to make in our society. We're also talking about the impact of racism on all of us and how music has the potential to bring us all together. This episode of People of Color is produced by Elliot Sweary. Welcome to People of Color with Henry Banks. This is on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We thank you for listening this evening. I am here with Glenn Swanson, and he has brought a guest to the studio today. His name is Bruce Henry. I'm going to let you, Glenn, go ahead and introduce yourself and then introduce our guest as well.
Thank you so much, Henry. We're really appreciative of Wisconsin Public Radio and you taking time for us. My wife, Emily, and myself, Glenn Swanson, we're on a little pop-up jazz dinner weekend once a month at our bed and breakfast in Carlton, Minnesota. And this weekend, I guess it would be June 8 and 9, we have with us one of my dear friends, wonderful human being, Bruce Henry. And I'll let Bruce introduce himself and tell you a little bit about him right now then.
Hi, I'm glad to be here, this beautiful country up here. My name's Bruce Henry. I currently live in Chicago, and I'm an educator, vocalist, composer. We're up here doing some jazz here with a fantastic trio.
That's
right. And really excited for the hang and just glad to be here.
Well, thank you both for coming in. So here's what Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine says about you. He is a true master of the jazz art form. And then the St. Paul Pioneer Press says, he's not only a singer with outstanding skills, but also a man of great musical imagination. That's awesome.
I didn't even pay for that.
That is really great. Why don't you, first question I have for you is, why did you decide to take on the jazz genre?
Well, you know, I like music, so I sing jazz. I'm proud to be called a jazz singer, but I'm also known as eclectic, very much so. So I like all kinds of styles. R&B, I've won awards as an R&B singer. I like world music. I sing gospel music. I sing folk music. I was trained in Italian opera. One of the reasons I like jazz is because jazz is a genre that allows you to be eclectic. I mean, if you don't run into the jazz police. The jazz police like to try to slim you down a little bit. But generally speaking, if it's improvisational based, you know, jazz will accept you. So that can be a lot of styles of music.
Mm-hmm. So you sing jazz and mm-hmm. you do what you say, all kinds of music also. Mm-hmm. Who were your major influencers?
Well, because of her diversity, Miss Nina Simone is one of my greatest influences because she's like, nice. You know, what is Nina? She is a folk singer, blues singer, jazz singer with classical undertones, protest music. She inspires me greatly. Nina Simone, Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye. Instrumentally, I love John Coltrane. So from the jazz, and of course, I got to mention Mr. Giroux, the late, great Al Giroux.
Absolutely. So yeah. I'm going to ask you also, where does Thelonious Monk play, as it were, in your music career? Did he have an influence on you?
Not necessarily. Well, I shouldn't say that. You know, I don't play piano, but his creative artist free attitude, improvisational attitude, influences me. And anybody in the jazz genre, you know, just the possibility of being free. He broke the mold. His improvisation broke the mold. He was one of a kind. Mm-hmm. And so, and that just his general attitude and style inspired me.
Oh, very cool. So you talked earlier about jazz and blues and how these genres influenced you, encouraged you to be a jazz singer and more. Where do you take, from your perspective, jazz and blues as its, or those genres' relationships to the black church?
Good question. That's a good question. Well, you know, we've all heard that. So we know so many famous artists, whether they be jazz, instrumentalists, jazz, vocalists, were all, you know, in that church. So many African-American people, you know, grew up in the church. It's just a fact of life. The Southern gospel experience, that was the one community that most of us historically have participated in. And it was also a community that encouraged music and in some ways encouraged improvisation.
Mm-hmm.
It was our music school.
Absolutely. So would you say then that jazz and blues started in the church, or did it start somewhere else? I've heard a lot of people say that jazz and blues originated in the black church.
It's funny. We're having a conversation about this just this morning. Is genre. Genre is a modern invention. Okay. Genre is, in my opinion, is a marketing tool. Because I've heard people like the great Ciceretta Jones, who was a classical singer from the 19th century. She sang classical music. She sang folk songs of the day. She sang spirituals. I mean, they didn't, you know, I kind of model myself after them. They didn't limit themselves to genres. So they sang the music. So it was very comfortable and easy for a lot of entertainers to flow backward and forth. Even Duke Ellington, who has a great body of sacred music. They didn't believe in genres as much as we do today. And, you know, with the later on in the 20th century, people going off, the marketing people going into narrow niche marketing to maximize their profits, they married us to this concept of genre.
Mm-hmm.
But and then the natural artistic spirit will not lead you to genre. It will lead you to exploration.
Oh, very
left alone.
Wow. Very interesting. I've never heard that explained like that before, but it makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are in 2018, mm-hmm. and for all intents and purposes, our society is in a shambles, politically and otherwise.
Right.
How do you use jazz to cope with the issues going on in our society?
That's a good question, man. You asked some great questions, Mr. Henry. how do I personally,
Yes.
Well, me personally, you know, one of those genres and types of jazz would be the jazz messenger. The jazz messenger is a type. Gil Scott-Heron, Art Blakey, and people of that nature, partly coming out of the Black Arts Movement, Nina Simone. And so the jazz messenger is a legitimate jazz category where the performer sings and performs John Coltrane, music that is uplifting and inspiring, maybe spiritually motivated, maybe politically motivated. Well, that's, if you had to pin me in a corner, though I try to be eclectic, you know, I'm known for being a crooner. I like to sing the Great American Songbook, and I like to make people happy, but there's an undertone of message through my music, unifying message, a little political as well. So what may differentiate me from other jazz singers is that I don't just croon, I have an underlying message, jazz. Mm-hmm. So that's how I use it. I mean, on stage, I have other things I do off stage musically as far as education.
Sure. You're here with Glenn Swanson.
Yeah.
And he opened the show by saying that the two of you are friends.
Yeah.
I would like for you, Glenn, to talk about when that friendship started and how it's blossomed over time, if that makes any sense.
It does. You know, I get it. Bruce and I would meet. I was part of a pit orchestra. Bruce was part of the vocal ensemble or solo artist during those days. But I would think it would have been somewhere in the early 70s. And I grew up here in the Duluth area and traveled then to Minneapolis, and from there entered my, you know, career of music. So Bruce and I, as I think I said earlier, I'm a drummer, and just putting in a little bit of a pitch for the trio that we have at the house, of course, myself and Ryan Frain, wonderful piano player from the UMD music program, and Matt Mobley. And we, because of music has a way of creating long-lasting friendships. And at first, it's you go to a gig and you say, yeah, my name's Glenn, yeah, Bruce Henry, and okay, yeah. And then you have this moment where you play and make music together, which becomes, it's a sacred space that you enter when you do that, hopefully, if it's done right. And the musical community is never that large, and you're always in and out with various people that kind of even keep you connected, even though you may not be gigging together, you know? And as of Bruce and I were, we've had not a great opportunity through our careers to work together, but I, because I own the club now, it makes it a lot easier. And I'm very supportive of Bruce's educational agenda, and very intelligent, wonderful message that he has within that that deserves, needs to be heard. And so we are also supporting that agenda here in the Twin Ports area. We're bringing Bruce back in November and making his, I'll let him tell you a little bit about that, but we want to do what we can to get Bruce into our public schools and into our colleges with his program, and so we are indeed doing that.
So before you answer that question, mm-hmm. or that, make some more comments here related to the friendship, how long have you been friends?
Well, how many years? I came to the Twin Cities in 1975. So I knew of that. You, and we met shortly after that.
Oh, wow. That's so right. Quite a while.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
yeah,
that's
I don't
excellent.
Want to think about quite
okay,
a while.
Yeah, yeah.
We both had hair.
Right. Yeah.
I had hair back then, too. So.
All right.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. This is Henry Banks. You're listening to People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Bruce Henry and Glenn Swanson. They're here to talk about jazz and all that jazz. And I know that Bruce is performing at the Oldenburg House in Carlton, Minnesota, coming up this weekend. Before you comment about the Oldenburg House, I want you to talk a little bit about that friendship, too, because you guys seem like you're very close, almost like brothers.
Well, that, you know, that's perceptive. The thing about it, and that what Glenn was saying was, if you looked at it, the number of times we've been in each other's space, it wouldn't be as many as you might think. But there are certain people that come into your life, and it's just a very minimum amount of people. I consider myself having, you know, hundreds of friends, you know. But there's certain people that you meet, you instantly are connected with them. Now, I don't know where that comes from, you know, whether that comes from the great beyond or not. I don't know. But there's certain people you're just instantly connected with. And the miles and the distance between us moving to different states, it doesn't matter. So, I mean, when I met her, I just loved him as a brother, and we always have. Mm-hmm. And also what Glenn was saying, it's reinforced by, even though we're not there, we have mutual acquaintances in between each
other. That's right.
That he sees a lot, and I see them, and it reinforces that family connection.
Yeah.
Very cool. So what is some of the music you're going to be doing this weekend?
Well, some of the music we'll be doing, we'll probably sneak in a original somewhere in there. But I'll be doing some music. I'll be doing some Gil Scott-Heron. I'll be doing a John Coltrane with the band. I have an arrangement that I'm presenting with the band of a Earth, Wind, and Fire song, Mighty Mighty. And it's I describe this song as if the great Elvin Jones had a bunch of coffee and met, Earth, Wind, and Fire. And he put it on 240 and swinging, and that's so. So it's a little eclectic mix. I have one of my more popular public performances is I've done a version of The House of the Rising Sun that is always one of the highlights of the show. So it lends more towards straight ahead, but it's got a lot of jump to it. That's what I'm very thankful for. It's not sleepy jazz. Mm-hmm. It's not sleepy jazz. And for the lovers in the house, we'll mix in a romantic ballad or so.
Oh, very cool. So I when I did some research on the Oldenburg House, I was very impressed with your lineup for the next several months, maybe?
Yeah.
Can you talk about some of the other folks who are going to be performing at the Oldenburg House? I mean, this is in Carlton, Minnesota. And so when I went online, I wasn't expecting to see what I had uncovered that's going on in Carlton, Minnesota. So that's pretty exciting in and of itself.
Well, thank you for that opportunity. Yes, in July and I think it'd be like the first weekend of July. Again, here's a mutual friend of both Bruce and myself, Debbie Duncan. And we just, our little, she's been here a couple of times before. The audience, of course, loves, anybody loves Debbie. And with her will be another dear friend, again, another mutual friend, Chris Lomheim on piano. And let's see who we have in August. August, we have Pippi Ardenia back with us. And Pippi and I worked in St. Paul. We have a professional relationship and a great friendship. And we, on that weekend, she's here, it's 17th and 18th. The 18th, we're doing a fundraiser for an organization called Noteworthy Kids. We're doing a little mini music camp in the morning. We're having a family picnic, and then we're doing our regular Cooking at the O series with Pippi. And those funds will go to help support our efforts and Noteworthy Kids. Their agenda is to make sure children that would not otherwise be able to afford music lessons or a musical instrument has that provided to them. Boy, we're getting Bruce back. Certainly in November, we talked possibly about Bruce being here in August for that. Another dear friend, and again, a mutual. I mean, it's a thing about this community of people. I wish I had a list of performers, but I guess
pretty lofty, right? Pretty lofty goals.
Yeah. Well, you know, the cool thing, the reason that it works for us to be able to do this in a very small venue situation is that I'm professionally, you know, had all these ties with various wonderful, great, world-class musicians. And we've become great, dear, dear friends. So I have the opportunity, we run a little bed and breakfast there to put everybody up. There's a hang, you know, we get to play music together. It's really about as close of a slice of heaven on earth. And we get to introduce this culture of ours, or this family that I feel really close to the rest of the community, and in a very intimate setting. Mm-hmm. And it just, people leave. There has not been a person to this day, anyways, that has left without a huge smile on their face, without an awareness that something just great has happened to them, even though they might be scratching their heads in the morning going, geez, what was that all about? And we get, you know, so anyways, it seems strangely enough to be working in something that people are hungry for, because it is real. It's very authentic. It's in your face, genuine, and you're right up close to it. And that's infectious. You know, music has a way of, once you enter the space, inviting everybody else to enter the space with you. Mm-hmm. And you get that going on, and you're creating a moment in time that spirit, soul loves to have.
Oh, that's rich. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned a couple of people. Now, let's share with you how small the world is, right?
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Matt Mobley.
Okay.
I watched Matt Mobley grow up as a kid.
You're kidding me.
His mom was a good friend of mine at the time. We lived in the same apartment community.
There you have it.
Small world.
Small
very,
world.
Very small world. Yeah. And I know Ryan Frayn.
All right.
Okay, I don't know him like real closely, but I know of his work. I know he's a very gifted musician as well.
Yeah, and a wonderful human being.
Yes.
Just a love dog.
That's how small the world really is.
Yeah.
When you have those connections that you don't necessarily know you have.
There you go. That's right.
That's true.
And so I'm going to throw this question out to the two of you.
Okay.
So in our society, we know that we're faced with all of these isms that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
That one ism is racism.
Mm-hmm.
However, if there's no such thing as race, only the human race, why do you believe we still have racism? Let's start with you.
If there's no such thing as race, why do I think we still have racism?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we still have racism because there may not be anything such as race, but there still is the monkey brain. And there is a part of us that, just like a monkey, they can't share. There's a part of us that tribalism creates power. Mm-hmm. You know, if you are a part of a select group, you have power,
mm-hmm.
whether it's over resources or whatever it might be. And just on an instinctual level, we coalesce around power, the safety in numbers in groups. So I think that's there. And we're going to need serious enlightenment of some kind to get rid of something that's fairly primal.
Mm-hmm.
And something that we can't negotiate ourselves out of, because we fall back to that.
Wow. Glenn?
I think the reason that there's a lot of racism is because people don't listen to enough jazz.
I'm glad you went there. I'm glad you went there, because all throughout this conversation here today, the two of you are expressing this empowering relationship that has nothing to do with skin tone.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with skin tone.
Yeah.
But it has a lot to do with your love of jazz music. Yeah. And that's what brings you together.
Yeah.
I mean, that's real.
That is real.
You know, that's about the human character, the human experience, is how we bring each other together by using music and other forms.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yeah. So...
which kind of brings that together full circle, you know, in terms of like, you know, at least for me, the jazz messenger. So you know, there's the monkey brain, there's jazz, and how, and each person, in my opinion, it's like they say that the service is the rent due for living on this planet. So what do you have to offer to move this world forward? In my particular case, it's my voice. In someone else's particular case, he may be able to build buildings for homeless people, or it may be drawing a picture, whatever it is. But for me, it's a voice. So even though I recognize that racism is there, I have to dedicate a significant portion of my life to help proving it. So the songs that I sing are trying to create that enlightenment to help get rid of this problem that we have.
So, is it okay if I play some of your music for our listeners?
It's fine with me. Do you have some?
We're going to hopefully put some on the show.
I have some, or can point you to it.
Okay. If you would do that, and then we'll make that happen. I'm honored that you're allowing us to play some of your music on the show. Looking forward to just great things. And I'm hoping you will come back and sing something here? Bring sure. a couple other people with you?
I'd be happy to do that.
You know, we have large and small studios. We can use the larger studio to make that happen. And I think people would love that, to get some kind of live message from you in the jazz messenger music that you provide.
Let's plan on that.
Okay.
I would love to do that.
Yeah, let's make that happen.
Yeah. Sounds good.
We're going to take a quick break, but I'm here with Glenn Swanson and Bruce Henry. We're talking jazz. We'll be right back.
Through many incarnations, the all has brought about the message of the oneness we all must soon find out. Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Allah and Buddha too, Jehovah and Jesus Christ, just to name a few.
Welcome back to People of Color on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Yeah, so is there anything else you want to share, either of you, before we close?
I would like to just share one piece, because we have a couple tracks here, our relationship, and Glenn talked about earlier the educational aspect. So when I come up, next time I come up, I'll be performing at the O, you know, cooking at the O, but also we're making these inroads and working with people. And I hope I pronounced her name right. I met Liz Jacola this morning, who's a Native American educator, musician, activist. And we're going to be doing some things together around, you know, that bridge between Native American music and African American music and African American jazz and jazz. And I'll also be working with Spencer Walton, who's an educator here. And we're going to be, along with Emily, presenting my passion. I've been singing all my life, and I've been very grateful to be on great stages. So if I never sang in another venue again, my resume is good, okay? I want more gigs, don't get me wrong, and I need money. But I'm just saying. But my passion is, I have this curriculum called The Evolution of African American Music. And so I'm hoping to get that going out. So very briefly, what it is, it's a curriculum that I wrote. There were a lot of things that in my Western music education that were not explained about the African American music experience. So I've made a lifetime of studying. What are those differences? What are those things that can't be explained at the University of Chicago or wherever you might be? And so I wrote a curriculum around it, and I presented this curriculum. I presented it in Havana, the Havana Conservatory of Music. I presented it in Africa, all over America, and it traces 400 years of development of African American music. And what are those distinctions, musical distinctions, that are unique for everything from hip hop to gospel to folk songs to field hollers? And how are they connected back to our ancestral past? And so that's my passion. I present this thing in so many ways. I mean, I go in with preschoolers and we hold hands and we do it. Or I do it as a college lecture I've done it with a symphony, but that's my passion.
Oh, and my question to you is, yeah, how many weeks, how long is that curriculum? How long
Henry, does it Henry go you for? Won't believe it. Henry, I've done this so many times. It's like, my wife is funny. She says, every time I go do a presentation, I prepare like I've never done it. But she said, you know, you could just go in there and with a microphone and do it. You know, but anyway, to answer your question, my guarantee is that I can do the 400 years in 40 minutes. I can also do it in 6 weeks, and I can do it in a 13-week semester. So, you know, depending on what, wow, we need. So I can go in with a microphone 40 minutes by myself, multimedia, or I can go in with the band, and all levels, from performance, I've taught it to performing groups, to novices, to humanity students, whatever. It's been a mission of mine to present it as many ways as I can for the last 30 years, and it's accelerating. So
I believe there are at least two organizations in, mm-hmm, the Twin Ports that would be interested in you presenting that curriculum. One is the Superior African Heritage Community, which is an organization, and here in Superior, and then the other is the Family Freedom Center.
Hmm.
In fact, the Family Freedom Center, they just announced a couple days ago that they're going to be opening up what is called the Family Freedom Academy, which is a middle school charter school that's opening in 2019 in Duluth.
Wow.
I think you can make some connections, and you know, you talk about the impact that you would make.
Mm-hmm.
I think these organizations are very ripe for this education. I believe this community is ripe for this education because it's about telling the truth about our people.
Yes.
And the contributions that our people made over these 400 years that you talk about.
You are so right, and the my reasons for presenting it. Well, one is there is the appropriation of our culture, and why would that be important? Well, to me, it's important because, I mean, everyone should share in this music and in this tradition. But the reason that's important to me is if you study the history of our music, you'll know it's a survival mechanism. So why would you relinquish your survival mechanism and your own knowledge of it?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you relinquish that? We still need to survive, okay? Mm-hmm. And the messages throughout the performance of this music that can be brought forth today to people of all colors of the power of this music. And at the base of this music, which is the birthright from Africa, is the idea of inclusion. Jazz is a representation of that. It's collective improvisation. It's a
democracy.
Group. It's democracy.
Mm-hmm. You got to come back. You really do.
Don't get me started.
Oh, yeah. You know, this is an exciting conversation, and it's rich. It's deep.
Mm-hmm.
It's so very real. And so we say to our young people, you know, you need to find out who you really are, you know, because the education that our kids are getting doesn't necessarily do that around here. Doesn't necessarily do that.
Yeah, probably doesn't necessarily do that anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm, it's always clouded with a perspective that isn't all inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, if I could just share this with you, you know, if I ever get the pleasure to go back to school and or do some writing. One of my great passions, I love learning about it. I want to learn more and to share what I learned about the ring shout. And it's symbolic and it's literal. And the role of the ring shout in African-American culture. And the ring shout is a metaphor at the center of the African-American experience. And most of us don't even know about it.
Mm-hmm.
So in this ring, it's a circular dance that came from Africa. It was brought to America. We continued this tradition, pre-Christianity, post-Christianity. We continued this tradition of dance after working in a plantation, finding a secret place to go off somewhere, a hush holler, and doing a ring shout, where we kept alive our Africanness. In that ring, we a lot of the songs that we sing that are spirituals today were more than likely freestyled and created in these rings. And so, and in this ring is that idea of democracy, that the that there's no virtuoso here. Mm. Everyone participates. And so this is a connection I just want people to think about. So the black kid that's in school, that's suspended at a rate that's way beyond the rest of the population. Black kid comes from a tradition, whether they know it or not, where the ring is that everyone here has a voice in the ring. Everyone, there's no hierarchy here. So I'm not excusing bad behavior, but the idea that I'm a participant, I don't just sit here at the lecture. It's the same thing in the black church. It's the ring shout. The preacher's got authority, and the preacher preaches, and the audience is part of it. Mm-hmm. The hip-hop concert.
That's right.
You know, yo, come on. That's all the ring. Mm-hmm. Dixieland, collective improvisation. That's all the ring. So the power of that ring shout is just, is central to us, and we don't know about it. So I want to spread that to all people. The idea of how magnificent of people who get together in a collective circle to support individualism. Mm. That's the ring.
That's the ring.
And that's
jazz. Mm-hmm. And so I want to say this as well, that we tell our kids and we tell others in the African heritage community who have been taught that we came from slavery. We did not come from slavery. We came from the shores of Africa. That's a different approach to education.
Absolutely.
And who we are as people.
It's true.
And we came from royalty. We did not come from just whatever.
Right.
We came from royalty.
Yes.
And we have to keep putting that in the minds of our people.
And we were iron workers, and we were Muslims, and we were Christians, and we were Jews when we arrived.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. We got to continue this at some point. We really do. I want you, if you would, Glenn, to share with our listeners how they can purchase tickets, where the Oldenburg House is in Carlton, and anything else you want to share about your business.
Oh, thank you so much. Oldenburg House, we're on the National Register of Historic Places, located on the northwest corner of Jay Cook State Park in Carlton. Our two web addresses, one is oldenburghouse.com, and our nonprofit is Oldenburg Arts and Cultural Community, and its web address is oacc.us. That would be the best place to get information on our events and the stuff that we're doing. We're doing a lot of stuff. We're doing some outdoor movies. We're doing a bluegrass and folk festival kind of tied into some pollinator-friendly bee stuff. I don't know. We just concluded this wonderful document spring project with some area high schools. There's a lot of stuff that we're trying to engage the community within. So oacc.us is how to find out about that. And then we've got our little Facebook page. And that's how I would hopefully direct people to finding out about us. And you can buy tickets to our ticketed events. And we have events that we do that are free.
Okay, very well. Thank you. I appreciate both of you coming in. Bruce Henry from Chicago, Illinois, and Glenn Swanson from the Oldenburg House in Carlton, Minnesota. This is Henry Banks on People of Color with Henry Banks and the Ideas Network. Thanks for listening. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to People of Color on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Just a couple of announcements. One in particular is the music concert and awarding of the Reverend Arthur Foy III Memorial Scholarship. That's coming up on Sunday, June 24th at 4 p.m. at St. Mark African Methodist Episcopal Church, located at 530 North 5th Avenue East in Duluth. For more information, you can contact the Reverend Kathy Nelson at Peace United Church of Christ or Reverend Tracy Gibson at St. Mark AME Church. March 25, 2018 marked the 14th anniversary of the death of Reverend Arthur Foy III in a tragic car accident. In an effort to continue the important work he did here in the city of Duluth, when he served as pastor of St. Mark AME Church, a scholarship fund was established in his name. Each year, at least one student of color from our community is awarded $1,000 in a scholarship to continue his or her education at a post-high school institution. Reverend Foy saw education as a crucial step out of poverty and worked hard to make it more accessible to all kids. This year's scholarships will be awarded to three students, Rebecca Cunningham, Celise Miller, and Eunice Hunter. The award ceremony will take place on Sunday, June 24th, that's Sunday, June 24th, at 4 p.m. at St. Mark AME Church in Duluth. Music for the celebration will be provided by the following. These are all Twin Cities musicians. Kevin Jackson is Minister of Music at New Hope Baptist Church. Alexis Love is the Youth Choir Director at Park Avenue United Methodist Church. And members of the Wayman African Methodist Episcopal Church will be coming to the Twin Ports to celebrate this concert and scholarship award ceremony. The praise dancers from Soul Seekers for Christ will also perform. The event is free and open to the public. However, there will be an opportunity to make a free will donation to the scholarship fund. A little bit of information about the scholarship recipients. Rebecca Cunningham graduated from Duluth East High School. After moving out of her parents' house at the age of 14, she entered the treatment world and became a model student in every school she attended. She wrote in her application that "I have beaten every odd as a foster child faces and am extremely motivated for higher education." She also wrote that "taking part in this community is important to me." Since ninth grade, she has volunteered at a local greenhouse in the summer. She also volunteers at the food shelf and helps with community activities such as the Thanksgiving Day meal at the deck. And according to those who work with her, Rebecca is resilient, loves a challenge, and is completely future-oriented. That's Rebecca Cunningham, graduate of Duluth East High School. Celise Miller graduated from Denfeld High School, where she was on the honor roll every year and received the Science Student of the Year Award in both 9th and 11th grade. She also participated in the Upward Bound program through the College of St. Scholastica. In her application, Celise wrote that "she has shown great leadership and responsibility in my home life while balancing school, 2 to 3 jobs at once, home cleaning, social life, and caring for my siblings." Last summer, she completed an internship at Saffron and Gray, which inspired her to start her own small business. After finishing her internship, she worked full-time at her family's business in Superior, Wisconsin, where she was in charge of inventory, sales, organization, and paperwork. Her busy summer showed her that, according to her, "I need to work hard to get where I want to be in life." That was Celise Miller, graduate of Denfeld High School in Duluth. Eunice Hunter also graduated from Denfeld High School. He recognizes how important it is for young men to have more African-American role models of all ages. By taking part in the 2017 Scott Anderson Leadership Forum, participating in events focused on social justice and working as a referee for the Duluth Amateur Youth Basketball Association, Eunice strives to have a positive impact on the younger African-American males in the community. He wrote in his application that the Foy Scholarship would help me fulfill my dream in becoming a social worker to help kids like me who struggle through hard times. That was from Eunice Hunter, also a graduate of Denfeld High School. The three graduate scholarship recipients of the Arthur Foy Scholarship this year are Rebecca Cunningham, Celise Miller, and Eunice Hunter. Congratulations. Again, for more information, contact Reverend Kathy Nelson at Peace United Church of Christ in Duluth or Reverend Tracy Gibson at St. Mark AME Church, also in Duluth. And I just wanted to take time to update everyone regarding the Superior Juneteenth celebration. That celebration has been rescheduled to this Sunday, June 24th at 2 p.m. in Kelly Park. There's going to be free food, fun, and education. It's open to the public. Lots of great opportunity to meet people you've never met before and make new acquaintances, but also to meet your friends and neighbors for a good time in Kelly Park. This is the Superior Juneteenth celebration. This is the fourth annual event, and it will be held from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. in Kelly Park. For more information, you can contact the coordinator, Kim Young, at 218-673-6017. That's 218-673-6017. And they are still looking for volunteers to help this event go off without a hitch. That's the Superior Wisconsin Juneteenth celebration. That's the Superior Wisconsin Juneteenth celebration this Sunday, June 24th at 2 p.m. in Kelly Park. With thanks to Bruce Henry from Chicago and Glenn Swanson from Carlton, Minnesota for being on People of Color today. We thank you for coming in and sharing with us your expertise. Also, thanks to People of Color producer Elliot Sweary and People of Color executive producer Paul Damberg for their support. John Talcott is our chief engineer. Thanks for listening and have a great evening and a great weekend. Summertime.
sky to blow away, or maybe stay. She wasn't sure. For when she thought of summer rain calling for her mind again, she lost the pain and stayed for more. Gonna see the river man, gonna tell him all I care about the band I'm feeling free. And if he tells me all he knows by the way his river flows, I don't that it's meant for me. Oh, how they come and go. Oh, how they come and go.
Thank you.